You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Don't forget... there is, I want to say, the third to last regular season game the Knicks are going to face the Boston Celtics. And at that point in time, could they be utilizing some load management? I believe so. They've got an 11-game lead up on the Milwaukee Bucks where it stands right now. The Bucks sitting with the 2 seed, Cleveland with the 3 seed. Orlando Magic now has leapfrogged over the Knicks, unfortunately, like I said, a pretty rough go at it in regard to going up against Golden State and in the Nuggets. But the Knicks sitting there just half a game back to the Orlando Magic. Really, at the end of the day, the goals for this Knicks team, hopefully, I think the goal is for anyone in the East end up with that 2 seed to make sure you can avoid the Boston Celtics until, of course, the Eastern Conference Championship. So we'll see if they're able to do that. But again, some more scores. The Thunder taking care of the Raptors tonight, 123-103. The Grizzlies right now up on the Spurs, 82-76. Not sure if you tuned in to ESPN Bet this morning. We had an early show. Usually we're on from 6 to 7 p.m. We were on at 10 a.m. today, and my best bet was Wimby over 5.5 blocks and steals combined. He's got 4 right now, so he's played 27 minutes, and this game is close, 76-80, with about 7 minutes left in the fourth. So can I get 2 more? Can I get 1 more block, 1 more steal? That would be nice. Again, he's sitting at 4. I need 6 for this best bet to cash out. And right now, again, he's got 3 blocks and 1 steal with about, now we're looking at 6 minutes left. In the game, it's 80-78. The best thing that could happen here for me is this thing goes into overtime. How great would that be? But I need 2 more in the next 7 minutes. So fingers crossed there. Cavaliers going up against the T-Wolves. T-Wolves up 99-87 with about 2 minutes left in that game. And the Pelicans bringing it to the Miami Heat. Up 105-82. Like I said, the Pacers, Warriors, Clippers, Trailblazers, and 76ers, Lakers, those games are starting momentarily. And I already gave you 1 player prop for each of those. Okay. Just looking at, let's look at the landscape. I already kind of shared with you what I thought UConn right now, coming out of the East, if you were listening to the first hour, broke down the East for you. And UConn, now that Auburn is out, I think they arguably have one of the easiest paths to get to the Final Four. I thought they were going to really have an issue trying to get over beyond Auburn. But Auburn losing to Yale earlier tonight was just an absolute disaster. So it looks like probably Illinois or Iowa State is going to be their biggest competition trying to get to the Final Four. And you could wager right now that UConn will get to the Final Four out of the East at minus 150. Iowa State is plus 360. Illinois is plus 650. So that's where that stands right now. Let's take a look at what's going on in the West. And in the West, UNC advanced, Michigan State advanced, St. Mary and Grand Canyon play. It's the last game on the slate tonight. Alabama took care of Charleston. Clemson over New Mexico, which was a surprise to me. I had New Mexico going pretty far, so that totally blew my bracket. Baylor looked really good. Dayton and Nevada, I had Nevada advancing, but Dayton came through in the end, and in Arizona. So I still like UNC coming out of this. Interesting that Arizona is favored at 2-1 to represent the West For me, it's North Carolina, and you could get them at plus 320. So probably I'm looking at Alabama being, I've got UNC advancing. I think Alabama beats, whether it's St. Mary's or Grand Canyon. I think Alabama is going to be their most difficult competitor moving forward, and they probably will face Arizona in the Elite Eight. But again, getting North Carolina at plus 320 to represent that region is pretty intriguing to me. So there's that. Let's take a look at what's going on in the Midwest. So Purdue, they won in advance. We got Utah State and TCU going at it right now. Do we have a score? I don't see one in front of me right now. But that game just started. Gonzaga going up against Kansas. Oregon against Creighton. Texas against Tennessee. This is a really competitive division. Listen, Tennessee, Texas, I'm going to shrug my shoulders here. Like, I've got Tennessee advancing, but wouldn't be shocked if Texas advanced. Oregon looked great. I've got Creighton actually coming out of this region and representing, but wouldn't be shocked if they lost to Oregon, if they lost to Tennessee, if they lost to Texas. If Utah State advances, which I believe they will, I think Purdue's going to have a hard time getting past them. One would argue that I think this Midwest is probably maybe one of the most difficult regions to come out of. So, you know, getting Creighton at plus 425. So Tennessee, this is interesting. So Tennessee is favored right now. Where's Purdue? I don't know why Purdue isn't even on the board here. Tennessee is favored right now at plus 360. To come out of this region. Creighton at plus 425, Gonzaga at plus 650, Kansas at 11-1. Just FYI. And last but not least, let's take a look at what's going on in the South. Houston hasn't played yet. Well, actually, they're playing right now. They're up 14-4 against Longwood. We can expect what's going to happen there. Texas A&M over Nebraska. Wisconsin in James Madison playing right now. James Madison up on Wisconsin 15-5. Like I said, James Madison, my favorite bet today in college basketball. I know it's early. I don't want to assume anything, but they're up 15-5 where we stand right now. Duke advances. NC State over Texas Tech. Oakland upsetting Kentucky. Colorado beating Florida. I did have Colorado. Marquette going up against Western Kentucky, and they advance. One would argue that this might be just as easy for Houston to come out of the South as now that Auburn is out of the East for UConn to advance and represent the East in the Final Four. And right now you could get Houston at plus 130, plus 130. To represent the South region. NC State at 10-1, Wisconsin at 13-1, Oakland at 15-1, James Madison at 75-1. You know what? I mean, heck, throw a dollar on that. Throw a dollar on James Madison at 75-1 right now. Like I said, I think they're uber good. I think they beat Wisconsin. Wouldn't be surprised if they beat Duke. I'll be shocked if they get past Houston, but man, 75-1, throw a dollar on that bad boy. Go buy yourself a nice pair of shoes.
This is 98.7 ESPN.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So I'm just going to read this excerpt from an article. Major League Baseball announced Friday that it's opened an investigation into the allegations involving Los Angeles Dodgers star Ohtani and his former interpreter. 2 days after the Dodgers fired his interpreter, the league said it's been gathering information about the incident. His interpreter accused of massive theft on Wednesday by Ohtani's lawyer when it was learned that at least $4.5 million of Ohtani's money had been spent through wire transfers to a bookmaking operation under federal investigation. So Major League Baseball is expected to request interviews with everyone involved in the matter, including Ohtani, his interpreter. The league has no way to compile I guess his interpreters, I'm reading this verbatim, that his interpreter is no longer employed by the team. Ohtani also has the right to refuse to speak with the league as a member of the Major League Baseball Players Association, and he may do so because of the ongoing criminal investigation, yada, yada, yada. So we'll see what happens. So at the end of the day, now keep in mind, Ohtani signed a record-setting 10-year, $700 million deal with the Dodgers in December. The reports first broke, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jacob, the reports first broke that his interpreter was stealing money from him. That was the first thing that broke.
Yeah, there was a...
Right?
They was claiming
there
it as
was
a
no
theft.
Mention of gambling. There was no mention of gambling at that point. That was the first thing that broke. So obviously, you know, that's what his agent and, you know, the powers that be wanted to the world to perceive. And then as more and more was revealed, then it was revealed that his interpreter was gambling, and that and then $4.5 million of his money was wire transferred to a bookie, an illegal bookie in LA. So we're to believe that it was all his interpreter who was making all these wagers, and Ohtani had nothing to do with it. This is what we're to believe, right? Considering that A, the interpreter was fired by the Dodgers, and B, at first it was considered, right, stealing, theft, whatever the case. Where there's smoke, there's fire. I'm not believing it. At the end of the day, did he wager? Probably. Where I know this gets dangerous is, did he wager on Major League Baseball? Because let's be honest, let's not be naive here, right? To sit here and assume that every professional athlete doesn't wager, even though they're not supposed to, is naive. Okay? To sit and think that every professional athlete doesn't wager is naive. Now, how do they wager? Do they wager through their wife, their brother, their mother, their father, their sister, their friend? Probably. So they don't get caught. You know, but you want to hope that there's integrity, and that, like, again, like, am I wrong? Like, I don't have a problem with a professional athlete gambling on professional sports, as long as they're not gambling on their sport. Am I wrong or am I right?
You're not wrong. It takes away the credibility of it if that happens.
Not just the credibility, but now you've got to wonder, like, if he did wager on Major League Baseball, you know, did he wager on himself? Did he wager on the Angels? Did he wager on games where he was pitching? Did he wager on games where he was DHing? Did he, like, you know, did you know, obviously the obvious question is, did he affect the outcome? You know, Somebody book Pete Rose for the show. Actually, I do have his phone number. I should book him for Sunday. But at the end of the day, listen, I think this is just the tip of the iceberg. Now, granted, Major League Baseball, and we talked about this in the break, and I think you're right, Jacob, like, he's the face, he's the darling right now of Major League Baseball. Like, is Major League Baseball going to protect him? Like, are we going to know everything about that investigation? Are they going to be truly transparent? I think we'd be naive to think that. But I think a lot more is going to come from this. And I think where there's smoke, there's fire. But at the same time, you know, I don't want to throw stones. Again, I think we'd be naive here to think that professional athletes, every single professional athlete doesn't wager. The problem is, just don't wager on the sport you play in. And for God bid, don't wager on the team you play on. Right?
I mean, the easiest bet would have been made that Angels were not making the playoffs for every year he was on it. I would definitely put that bet in. He should have gave me the money, Anita. I would have did something nice with it.
So, at least, I know we've got 30 seconds left in this segment. Agree or disagree, I think this is going to get uglier.
Oh, it's going to get a whole lot worse.
Yeah, I think this is...
I feel like even if it doesn't and MLB decides they want to sweep it under the rug, fans are going to be in an uproar about it.
It's one thing for, like, a rookie wide receiver for the Detroit Lions. This is a whole nother animal with Otani. That's for sure. Anyway, quick break. We'll be back. We'll hear from Fat Jack next here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to We Can Wager here on 98.7 ESPN. We are in the thick of it, are we not? And Fat Jack, professional handicapper, joins us each and every week. So Jack, I just burned my bracket. I mean, if ever there was a year that I took some dogs more than normal, it was this year. And I felt like I went in, I was feeling confident, you know, about McNeese State, right? I was feeling confident about Stanford. Nothing has materialized. I didn't have Oakland. Wish I would have had Oakland. I didn't have Oakland upsetting Kentucky. But nonetheless, how has this tournament looked for you after almost 2 days in the books?
Yeah, brackets are stupid. I mean, there's no connection between making money betting on the games and being able to pick straight up winners, predicting 3-4 weeks down or, you know, games down the line. It's like going up to a marathon runner and saying how fast you run the 50-yard dash. I mean, yeah, we're both running, but totally different things. So I have North Carolina winning it all. All my Final Four are all still available. So, you know, I'm not saying that I'm not going to do okay in the bracket, but it's not something that correlates necessarily to what I feel like I'm really, really good at, I've been doing for 27 years, which is picking winners against the spread. But I stayed away from a few of the quote-unquote sexy long shots like you're talking about McNeese State and some of the others. I didn't touch the Oakland game. I obviously had them losing, I think, in my bracket. But as far as from a gambling standpoint, I've been better at – and by the way, I lost on Thursday. I went 1-3, which nobody wants to sign up for March Madness tournament and then go 1-3. I'm aware of that. But we are up like 60 games over the last 4 months, so it's hard for me to apologize. I mean, things are going really, really well. But this is, to your point, a huge weekend – and a great opportunity to make some money. I had you know, just going early today, had Clemson easy winners, had North Carolina easy winner. Those type games, you're getting some easy winners, but you're also having to kind of cipher through some of these teams that the average fan knows nothing about, figuring out which of those are going to show up game and which of them just aren't equipped.
All right, so let's for folks out there, maybe they've done better than I, and they're playing with house money. Maybe some folks out there have done worse than I, and we need to get them back into some winning ways. So let's feed the people first and foremost. So we're going to take a look at some of the Saturday games, and let's take a look at UNC. UNC going up against Michigan State. That was a tough one to figure out. Michigan State, Mississippi State, but Michigan State. Tom Izzo advances to this round. Now he has to take on those Tar Heels. UNC is favored by 4. The over-under is 140.5. What do you like in this matchup?
Yeah, see, Izzo is not playing even 1 minute of the game. And I'm fully aware that we expect Michigan State to be relevant this time of year. And they typically are. And so it's hard. You can lose a lot of money betting against Tom Izzo when he coaches for Michigan State. Another thing that might lead you away from North Carolina is that, you know, since 1985, there have only been 7 number one seeds playing in the second round that have been a 4-point favorite or less. So kind of falls into what we're looking at here. Of those 7 teams, 5 of them lost straight up. So Vegas, they'll kind of lead you the right way in some of these spots, generally speaking. But I will tell you, this Michigan State team shot really well, way above their season average in their opening round. I don't expect them to keep that up. This is not a good basketball shooting team. They don't shoot the ball very well, either from the 3 or in the paint. They just don't score the ball very well. I think North Carolina, they have some players that have been there. They're pretty deep. And they're a team getting hot at the right time. I've found a few of these teams that ended the year on what most average fans would consider a down note. But the reality is they were getting hot at the right time. North Carolina, very hot at the end of the year, ran into North Carolina State in the conference tournament, which was also a very hot team, ended up losing. Tennessee, same type of thing. And by the way, these, no coincidence, both of these are teams that won big in the opening round. But Tennessee wins the SEC, gets into the tournament, loses before their folks. They're supposed to. There's some value in playing these teams that the general public might, because of one loss, thought, well, this team's gone. But the reality is they're resilient and they were getting hot at the right time. So give me North Carolina here. I understand I'm fading some of the Vegas numbers. I'd like this number more at 4.5 probably because of that stat. But I like North Carolina here. I like actually both North Carolina teams. But give me North Carolina minus the points over Michigan State.
Let's take a look at what's going on with NC State. They beat Texas Tech. Full disclosure, I had Texas Tech advancing. Again, let's just burn up my bracket. Oakland with the big surprise, the big upset, beating Kentucky, a 14 seed, beating a 3rd seed. NC State coming in hot. Didn't have a great regular season, but coming in hot. Favored by 6. The over-under is 144.5. What say you?
You know, it's kind of identifying these teams that are getting hot at the right time. Which ones can we ride into the next round because they're getting hot? And despite what Oakland's star shooting guard said, that they are not Cinderella. They, in fact, are Cinderella. And North Carolina State, I think that this is a team that is getting hot at the right time. As I said, they end up beating North Carolina in the ACC tournament. You're right, Texas Tech was dangerous. They had been playing better at times and plays pretty good defense. But North Carolina State, that was a big win for me, and this number's really low. Again, the books are telling you this Oakland team's for real. I don't expect they're going to shoot it quite as well going forward. And I'm the type of guy that in October, November, December, I play Oakland a lot. I mean, this is not a sneak up on me type team. Them St. Peter's, Canisius, a lot of those type teams that most people don't know anything about. I make a lot of money during the year, but I don't think this Oakland team will shoot it quite as well. If they don't, they're going to get run out by North Carolina State. Give me North Carolina State minus a 5.5.
Again, Fat Jack, professional handicapper, fatjacksports.com, joining us, talking all things March Madness, helping folks win some money on Saturday. Duquesne, they upset BYU, an 11 seed, taking down a 6 seed, or were they a 5 seed? And now they face Illinois. So Illinois is favored by 10. The over-under is 148. Can Duquesne come in and play as marvelously as they did against BYU? What's your play here, Jack?
Yeah, this is the other spots where I had BYU, a loser, bad loser actually, had Illinois, easy winner, won by double digits and going away. Illinois, another one of those teams that got hot at the right time of year. Them and Wisconsin both. Illinois was hot most of the year, and then they slept off a little bit. Then they got better at the end. They're shooting it much better. Wisconsin, very similar, a team that lost in the conference finals of the tournament to Purdue. But both of those teams, I expect to win a couple of games, at least one more, and I think that happens here. Duquesne, people will start jumping on these bandwagons about the time you should be jumping off the bandwagon. The good thing about Illinois, they score a ton of points, number one, and they play pretty good defense. Not as good as they have in years past, but this is one of the top scoring teams in the country. I think they're going to have their way. I'd also play the total over here, 148.5. Don't be surprised if it gets back up toward 150, which is where it opened. I'll go ahead and lay the points, play Illinois, and just to lean toward the over as well.
And again, any futures bets out there? Did you say, if I remember correctly, you've got UNC winning the whole thing, Jack?
I do. 17-1 with them. I have Iowa State, a pretty big bet. They were -275 making it to the Sweet 16. I have them as well. I think Iowa State goes a long way. I jumped on the Creighton bandwagon. You know, Trey Alexander, their shooting guard, who's been there now. This is his fourth year, I believe. I've known this kid. You know, he went to the same school as my kid from the time he was like 13 years old. Watch him mature. Watched him progress. Their center's a veteran as well. They're not going to be overwhelmed by the situation, which we've seen in some of these games over the first couple of days. Teams are getting into these spots and being overwhelmed. That Northwestern game, I was like watching a YMCA game. I mean, literally, it was some of the worst shooting I've ever seen on Friday morning. And so I think the teams that are equipped to overcome the moment are the ones you're going to get the most out of, or at least be the safest betting going into the weekend. North Carolina falls into that. Illinois falls into that. And certainly Creighton does as well. So those are the three. And Iowa State, a team that scores a bunch of points and plays good defense. You want that combination. That way, if a team doesn't shoot it particularly well this time of year, they can fall back on that defense. That's the other reason I think Houston is vulnerable. Those of you like number one seeds, Houston does not score a bunch of points when they don't get a bunch of turnovers. Be careful playing the Cougars because they are not good offensively.
Before we let you go, let's turn our attention to what's going on in the NBA and specifically right here in our own backyard. And that is the New York Knicks back home after a long road trip out west, did well. And now they're back home in New York hosting Brooklyn tomorrow afternoon. Hence why, folks, I'm not going to be on the radio. I have off tomorrow because the Knicks are going to be playing during my time slot. And you'll be able to listen to that right here on 98.7 ESPN. The Knicks are favored by 7. The over-under is 206. Do you have a play in this matchup?
Yeah, numbers ticked up to 7.5, and the totals come, it's down to 205. I'm on the total here. Both of these teams, when you get teams like this that know each other very well, don't play that far from each other, a little bit of a rivalry spot for both, you get a defensive intensity that you might not get if they were playing the Oklahoma City Thunder or Houston or somebody like that. So look for the defense to be ratcheted up, more importance of possessions, a long deeper into the shot clock. I think this number continues to work down. It's 20, opens 206. Down to 205. I wouldn't be surprised to see it in the 203.5 range. Also, first game of the day in the NBA, a lot of general public players, just generally speaking, like to go over. It's the only kind of daytime central game going tomorrow. So there's, generally speaking, some value on the under of these spots because the $50 guy that's going to watch these games from a spectator fan standpoint wants points, wants to go over. There's some value on the under here. Go under in the Knicks Nets.
I like it. Fat Jack, professional sports, joining us each and every Saturday and Friday, because a lot of times I replay you on Saturday, by the way. Let's
make some money. No matter if Friday or Saturday, we're trying to make some money. So let's
there
go.
There you go. Let the folks know they want to continue to follow your picks into next week, round of Sweet 16, Elite 8 as well. How can they get those?
Yeah, go to Fat Jack's. Sports.com. Listen, I'm the only guy in the world in this business. I guess I'm in this business. I'm a professional sports gambler. I bet on these games myself. So I'm okay saying we have a losing day. Every game is posted that everybody gets. The plays are emailed to you. They're texted. You can get them on the website through a portal. You don't have to talk to anybody. And then all the results are posted under the results tab. You'll see we went 1-3 on Thursday, but you'll also see that we're up 11 games in the month of March. We're up over 50 games in the last 4 months and 70 games, Anita, in this season. In basketball, that's insane. Really, really good year in basketball. And every one of those plays that everybody gets are posted and documented. Go to FatJackSports.com. It doesn't cost that much money to consistently win. $129 will get you actually $99 now because this is going late. We'll get you into Sunday. Get you all the way through Sunday, only $99. The longer packages save you even more. Add some discipline and quality plays to your bankroll, and you will start building profit instead of giving your money away at FatJackSports.com.
Fantastic. Great stuff as always. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the week. Hopefully my bracket will find new life as the tournament continues. And we will continue right here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is 98.7 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to Week in Wager here on 98.7 ESPN. Lee Sterling joining us now. We are in the thick of it, Lee. I don't know about you, but I burned my bracket up like earlier today. Done. Kaput. Man. Before we get into, of course, wagering, how do you partake in bracket pools?
I do. I have two. I have one where I have UConn, and I have another which I have North Carolina. But other than those two teams, I've got a lot of two, three, and higher seeds making it to the Final Four. So you're not going to get a Jay Billis 3-1s and a 2 from me. So I don't think you can take shots on, you know, like a Villanova 11 seed or something like that, whatever. I think they were maybe a 9 seed when they won back in the day. But you can take some shots. The key is you got to know the rules. I'll never forget this. One time I had a good friend. He moves from L.A. to Miami. He enters a pool that we have like 120 people in. He predicts the Final Four and has Arizona winning it. He did not place in the top three because he didn't read the rules. What he did was he predicted like 22 or 23 upsets in the first round. So we have a little bit in one of my pools. I think we go like 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, and 30 points for each round. And he lost so many points in the first round. In the second round, he was done. So the key is, it's just like, maybe it's the reason that you and I didn't go to an Ivy League school, or at least one of them. Got to read the rules first.
Yeah, I mean, listen, reading the rules, I get it. But like, I just, this year, I really felt that the seeding was off, and there was going to be some teams that, like, okay, I had Duquesne, by the way, beating BYU. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I had Oakland beating Kentucky, but I did have Drake advancing. I did have New Mexico advancing. Yeah. McNeese State, those are three that, you know, I felt really confident about. But regardless, so my Final Four, I've got UConn, I got UNC, I got Houston, I got Creighton. That's my Final Four. And
I've got Creighton going to the final game in one of them. So you're still alive. Hey, trust me, there's been a lot of upsets. No one had Oakland. I looked through it. I run one of them, and we had 178 people. Zero people had Oakland. So don't feel so bad. A lot of people had Drake. A lot of people had New Mexico. I'm sure you're fine.
We'll see. Well, let's, again, this is a gambling show.
At least you don't have Kentucky, Anita.
Yeah, there you go. That's for sure. This is a gambling show. So let's help some people win some money, especially on Saturday. And let's start. We're talking about North Carolina. Let's start with North Carolina. They are the line fluctuating 3.5, 4 in some places, 4.5 in some places, regardless, going up against Michigan State. Could have been Mississippi State or Michigan State. This was a good matchup, but it is Michigan State. A lot of people didn't expect them to be here. The over-under is 140.5. How are you playing this one?
So I think the line should be 5 points. Now, Michigan State looked good in the first game. Mississippi State also dominated inside. You know, you just can't keep shooting well from the outside, especially against a team like North Carolina, and expect to win. So I like North Carolina. I think that even though Michigan State has a really good player, Tyson Walker, he had 19 points in the first game, second team all Big Ten selection, 6'1 senior, but he's not going to be able to match up with RJ Davis. RJ Davis, I saw him down here. They played Miami. He is incredible. And Baycott, the center, Mondo Baycott, here's the guy that probably could have come out after 1 year and would have gone late in the first round. He's gotten better and better. He's a space eater. He's got a couple real nice moves going with his hook and also going backside, drop step, real nice. I think that North Carolina, which is, you know, seventh overall in defensive efficiency, a lot of people don't realize how good they are defensively, is very underrated. They can play a fast-paced game or a slow-down game here. I think Tom Izzo's going out, and who knows? I wouldn't be shocked if he retires after this game, too.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, he's been in college basketball forever and a day. Right. Another one to look at, Tennessee going up against Texas. This is one I think a lot of people anticipated this to be the second-round matchup. Tennessee is favored by 6.5. The over-under is 146.5. Many people, there are quite a few people who have Tennessee going all the way to the Elite Eight, if not the Final Four. Who do you like in this matchup?
So I think this is going to be a game that comes down to the last couple possessions. And that being the case, you got to take Texas. Rodney Terry's had some trouble putting together the right rotations here. But I like this kid, Brock Cunningham. I don't know why he doesn't play more. He started playing him more the last couple games. He's one of these guys that can shoot threes. He sets picks. He rebounds. Just a really underrated guy. People don't talk enough about, you know, your first guy off the bench, but he's that guy. He plays him a little bit more, and I think he matches up well in a game like this. I think they'll be fine. So they just got to keep the turnovers down here. Tennessee is good. I mean, they were a massive favorite against St. Peter's, but they managed to cover pretty easily here. They lost the turnover battle, which is I think going to be something that's going to really come into play here. So I'm going to take a flyer here on Texas to keep it within a couple possessions here. Big time pressure here on Rick Barnes. He just, you know, he's notorious for choking here and the big dance here, and just like Kentucky and a few other big coaches, Calipari, I just think that, you know, he's going to feel the pressure here. 6.5 is a lot to face with two very talented teams. Key also for Texas is sometimes they'll have someone that's not shooting well and they'll allow them to keep shooting. So Rodney Terry coaches a decent game, knows when to call his timeouts. I like Texas plus 6.5.
Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, ParamountSports.com, joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. You and I, we both like Creighton. We've got them going to the Final Four. Do we like them laying the 5 against Oregon, who looked quite good, of course, in that first round? Also, the over-under here is at 146. What's your play here?
With Oregon, you know, Dana Altman, the coach, coached at Creighton. So if you don't think coaches get up for certain games, absolutely. Oregon has a really good backcourt. I think they can match up with Creighton. Creighton is not real athletic. And, you know, it shows a lot of time once they get into the tournament. I think this is going to be their toughest test here. So I love what Oregon has done down the stretch here. They beat USC by 14 points in the first round. Watched the entire game, was impressed. They have this kid Dante in the backcourt. He does some really nice things. They feed him the ball from their guards and averages 16.5 points on 70.5% shooting and almost 9 rebounds a game. So the big man is something special here. I think he can match up with Creighton's bigs also. I'll take the five. Another one or two possession game.
So threading the needle here, you like Creighton to go to the Final Four, but you want Oregon with the points. You think it's going to be a close one. Not a lot of people dabble in the NIT while the big dance, while the NCAA tournament is going on. But there's a play there that you like. Seton Hall going up against North Texas. What's your play there?
Yeah, North Texas a couple nights ago had to go to LSU. Tough place to play, but LSU is not much of a team this year. The Pirates had a home win against St. Joe's. St. Joe's played really well in that game. And I had a feeling there was going to be a little bit of a hangover not getting in the tournament, but I like the way they came on in the second half here. So this North Texas team is going to have to score if they want to win. And I think that what Seton Hall does really well is stop the three-pointer. So the Mean Green, they hit those threes. They have been really good, impressive, 13th in three-point shooting. But that's Seton Hall's strength here. And, you know, on the road here, Seton Hall battled back, and that was impressive. Lesser teams might have had some problems and maybe even lost that game earlier in the week. But I think that this is a nice matchup here. They've got the size advantage also, which will help them on the rebounding end here. And you got North Texas team turns the ball over 281st in the country in turnovers. So I like Seton Hall minus a small spot. I think they'll win this game by 8 to 12 points.
By the way, Creighton to get to the Elite Eight plus 180 to get to the Final Four is plus 425. Are those numbers attractive enough to you to wager that, Link?
I might wait until after this round. So if Creighton wins by 1 to 4 points, I'm going to be sitting real pretty because, like I said, I'm going to be playing, you know, the other side of this game, but I have them in both of my brackets advancing. So you can't be scared, you know, just like UAB, you know, earlier today. UAB is a quality team. People just don't see some of these teams. You know, they don't watch them on a regular basis. So you've got to watch, you know, you've got to understand the coaching and how they coach games, and take nothing away from, you know, the Creighton coaching staff. They've been there before, but, you know, sometimes you come up against a team that's going to give you a tough matchup. And Oregon and their coaches, head coach who used to be at Creighton, will certainly be ready.
Before we let you go, got to talk about the NBA, especially since the Knicks play tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock tip off, back at home after a long West Coast swing. Hosting the Brooklyn Nets. So New York favored by 7, 6.5 in some places. The over-under opened up at 206. I think it's dropped to 205. Any play in this matchup?
Yeah, I like the Knicks here. I know they're still missing some players, but, you know, Brooklyn's missing players. They're just going through the motions. I mean, you're seeing a bunch of teams like Utah. These two teams are almost in the same type position. They just don't want to do real well. They're sitting in that 11th spot. I think that they're going to end up probably maybe even in 12th if they continue on the slide here. So Toronto's playing a little bit better, even though both teams have combined losing 13 games. So I expect the Brooklyn slide to hit 6 here. And like I said, they just don't do the little things. When you get this time of the season, you get the last 10, 12 games of the year, you find out what coaching staffs are made of. And, you know, the Knicks coaching staff always seems to have their players playing real hard late in the year. They're playing for something. They're sitting in that fifth spot. They'd like to be in the fourth or the third spot and have home court advantage to start the playoffs. So, like I said, this is a small spot. This line should be much higher here. I like the Knicks here. I think they win by double digits.
Lee, before we let you go, let the folks know, how can they find more picks, more plays heading into Sunday, heading into, of course, the Sweet 16 Elite Eight next week? How can they find you, my friend?
Yeah, we're on a 24-7 run right now in college basketball, 13-8 in the NBA. So doing a real good job, and hopefully the things keep bouncing our way. I think we're seeing things clearly. So if you want to get involved, $197 for the rest of the tournament goes to the finals on Monday, April 8th. Just one place, ParamountSports.com.
There you go. Lee, you rock as always. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Thanks, Anita.
All right, I want to thank Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com, for joining us here on 98.7 ESPN, as well as Fat Jack and Cynthia Freeland. We've got you covered. We certainly do, from NFL, futures bets, that you can get on right now. How about that? Even before we're still over a month away from the NFL draft happening, and obviously NFL rosters are going to look much different after that. That's for sure. And we've got you locked and loaded for tomorrow. Again, just a reminder, Knicks are playing 1 o'clock right here on 98.7 ESPN. So I will not be on tomorrow, but you'll be able to listen to that. Pre-game show starts at 12:30, heading into, of course, 1 o'clock, where you'll be able to listen to the Knicks back at home at the Garden, hosting the Nets. You know, hopefully a little home cooking can do them well. But I'm back with you on Sunday morning, bright and early, 9 a.m., 9 to noon. Moke Hamilton will join me to talk some NBA and some Knicks. Also, I'm going to have Dallin Cuff, who covers all things college basketball for ESPN, who's going to be joining us. And also, I thought it'd be great to have Stefania Bell join us on the program just to get some inside. Mike Williams, wide receiver, coming off of course, a real big injury. As we know, Aaron Rodgers coming off of an injury, just to kind of give us some insight and hopefully some hope and optimism as these athletes heal. I know it's a ways away till next season, but still, I thought it'd be great to get Stefania Bell on the show. So all that coming your way on Sunday. I want to thank our producers, Jacob, as well as Julian. Always do a great job producing the show. Hopefully we've got you locked and loaded for tomorrow. It's March Madness. It has been maddening. Hopefully you haven't burnt your bracket like I have, and you're still alive. Everybody, enjoy tomorrow. I'll hear you, or I'll see you, or we'll talk on Sunday morning right here on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.